T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
It is a football, finally, free agent Friday. All of the above, just check D on the box. Paul Iander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is the one and only Lindsey Brown.
What up?
It has been a very busy Friday. Some of us have been up for 12 hours. Kind of just watching the world go by, one signing at a time. The NHL silly season has opened up. We've also been watching the injury report of the Las Vegas Raiders as they get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. That is something we will be talking about today, coming up at 3:37.
Excellent.
And the Vegas Golden Knights, of course, getting active in the whole idea of free agency, but not so much free agency as it was the trade winds.
Yes.
And that is where we start the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
Oakley Doakley, so here's where we're at on this free agent Friday in the NHL, which started at 9 o'clock our time this morning. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, or the Vegas Golden Knights.
I was going to say blasphemous.
Well, if you listen north of the border, they just say, oh, the Las Vegas team.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what they call us, huh?
The Vegas Golden, the Vegas Golden Knights, prior to everybody waking up, a word started leaking out last night from media in Winnipeg that the Vegas Golden Knights were going to do a deal with the Winnipeg Jets involving Paul Stastny. Well, it turned out to be true. After all, this morning, at about 8 o'clock, exactly at 8 o'clock, we all got word that Paul Stastny was going to be traded with his 1 year remaining of his contract at $6.5 million.
That's a lot of dollars for 1 year, Paul!
He would be sent to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for Carl Dahlstrom.
And
very large man and a draft pick in the 2022 draft.
Yeah, a conditional fourth rounder. And Carl Dahlstrom didn't exactly play a ton of minutes on the defensive end for
fresh
the Winnipeg.
Legs.
Yeah, but if you remember, Paul, the decor for Winnipeg was really the biggest problem they had. So he wasn't on the ice. This is basically a salary dump. Let's just call it what it is. And it buys the Golden Knights some very necessary breathing room for the overall cap, but especially if they're looking to get a deal done with someone involved with the number 29.
That hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened. It might not. You don't know.
Exactly. I say the word yet, but maybe I just need to cross and put a big, giant Sharpie X through the yet.
Yeah.
And that perhaps these two teams, or at least this team that we continue to follow, might retain said Marc-Andre Fleury.
And Paul Stastny was a very important part of this team, especially in the faceoff circle. But at least he's going back to a place that knows him, not relatively well, but he did play there as a rental player right before he signed here for the Vegas Golden Knights as a free agent. So very much a homecoming for him in a way, and no hard feelings between either parties, and the breathing room very, very necessary.
Now, I hit up Stastny's agent to see if he'd come on with us. They redirected me to the Jets because he is property of the Jets. They got back to me and said, oh, hey, sorry, Paul, we just cut him loose to go camping with the family.
Oh, he can go hang out with the family, but next time you should have him, like, redirect to the other, conversation we had with a different agent yesterday, correct, for Chandler Stephenson?
Truth.
It's all about networking.
It is.
It is indeed.
It could. By the way, Stastny's agent also represents Nate Schmidt.
excellent.
So lots of major storylines going on throughout the NHL today. Lots of player movement, especially in Lindsay's lovely land of goalies. We'll start breaking some of that down for you coming up in about 14 minutes.
Number two.
Okay, so today we got a little taste of what is about to come as the Mountain West Conference announced its men's and women's basketball schedules. There is no non-conference slate. This is just the conference schedule, but at least we know when things are going to start. For most teams, they will start on Tuesday, December the 29th. So over the holiday break, which is kind of unusual. Normally, there's a real big dead period in between Christmas and New Year's. Normally, they don't play right around that time.
Well, they're not playing in games usually, but they're on campus and practicing. You know, yes. most of the time you're like a month for the holiday season. For the athletes, it's maybe 2 weeks if you're lucky. So it's not that big of a deviation, but we've already shaken things up so much anyway, so whatevs.
18-game conference schedule. UNLV will open up on the road at Colorado State on December 29th, then come home and play San Diego State January 2nd. Most of the games are going to be on Tuesdays and Saturdays. That depends also on television deals. And, of course, we don't know what the non-conference is going to look like. November 25th is when that will get underway. Most teams will be allowed to play about seven games, and UNLV is going to start things off with a Thanksgiving tournament. The aptly named Maui Invitational.
That's right. That is happening in the Maui of the Mideast, Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes.
So we'll see about those and the traveling and stuff, because with football, they were just doing it regionally, right? And that's mostly the plan with basketball and with conference schedules.
Yeah, it seems like they want to keep it as close as possible just in terms of travel, which is what they've done in the past,
right,
to be honest. But there had been a lot of talk about doing bubbles and smaller tournaments so teams didn't have to do so much traveling. That still has to be worked out. And of course, when it comes to those things, it also involves television deals.
And more money.
These schools, the men's and women's teams, could certainly use the cash, especially when we're not expecting fans. It's one thing to be talking about football in 50,000, 60,000 mm-hmm. Seat stadiums, but basketball, 8,000 in a gym.
Yeah, and not everybody's operating with the same accommodations before all of this came down, let alone what a lot of us kind of think about is the professional iterations that we've seen play out. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
They don't have the resources.
Well, last year I remember watching UNLV at Wyoming. There were like maybe 200 people there. So
I mean, that's not that big of a difference.
Right, they may not have to worry about spacing people out in Wyoming.
But yeah.
But we do have Mountain West Conference schedules. 2021 schedule is out, and it starts right around the new year.
Number three.
Moving on. Baseball. The Dodgers sweeping last night over the San Diego Padres.
Just sweeping them away with their mediocrity.
Which means everyone gets a weekend to kind of recharge, and the National League Championship Series will start next Monday in Arlington. We don't have a time, but we will be playing the Atlanta Braves in a best-of-seven series. It'll be in Arlington in the bubble. We're waiting on, again, times, but they're going to play, again, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
So every day, every day, every day.
Best-of-seven.
Straight up.
Hopefully it's a four-game sweep like we've had before. But Atlanta's a little tougher of a team. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Much stronger pitching staff.
And they've been here before, which is not what San Diego was. And then who do we have in the first round? I've already forgotten. Milwaukee. They kick things around once in a while.
Certainly. So it'll be Atlanta and the Dodgers going in the National League Championship Series. And then on the American League side, it is the Houston Astros.
No! Boo! Boo! I think I have to defect from the AL.
Yeah,
I think it's finally time. I mean, it's probably a smart decision to move away from the Minnesota sports fandoms, like, entirely.
You can shove away from some of those things.
But the AL has failed all of us.
Yeah. Well, start with the Oakland A's. They failed us first.
Well, the Twins failed us first.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Then,
that's
yeah,
right.
That's right. The Twins got torched. Yeah, at home, too.
Yeah, they got torched.
Yeah, and aren't the Astros the only baseball team ever to make the postseason, which was expanded, with a below 500 record
at that point?
Yeah,
ugly.
And I'm sure that record is now over 500. It's taken how many wins? Four wins to get there, at least? Five wins. Damn it!
So, Houston, the Astros, will be taking on the winner of today's American League Divisional Series Game 5. The Rays even things up with the Yankees. Two games apiece. They're going to get things going here in about an hour or so.
Mm.
And winner moves on to take on the Houston Astros. Game 1 of that series actually starts on Sunday.
Oh!
So, they're staggering them
quick
out
and dirty, huh?
Oh, well, they got to get all this stuff in.
That's true.
Not really worried about weather, to be honest. They just want to get all the games in as quickly as possible.
Right, because you never know. You never freaking know.
And that leads us to number four.
Mm. Number four.
So, all the more reason for head coaches in the NFL and sideline officials to brush their teeth. The NFL has sent teams a memo outlining penalties if you head up to, and of course they use a picture of John Gruden in the story.
Well, it's not like we've been running clean, Paul.
No, that if coaches or players approach game officials without face covering, so if you want to go up to a ref, you could get a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. Or be fined, suspended, and lose a draft choice. So immediately, you're talking about getting flagged for 15 yards.
And we know about all of our triggers with the 15-yard flags, right?
Yes.
Right? We love that. It's perfect because it's pain then, and there should be more pain later. So that's why I would say both. Both is good, to quote El Dorado, one of the great DreamWorks films of my childhood. But yeah, I think this is bare minimum type of expectation, don't you? But the refs deserve just as much protection as anybody else on the field, don't they?
I wonder what it looks like when they have to call it. I mean, they just say unsportsmanlike conduct, but they could come up with something clever for the mask penalty, not wearing
barking.
A mask.
Barking. 15 yards for barking without the collar.
Defense, 15-yard penalty, barking.
Yeah. Heavy breathing. For mouth breathing.
So that's, mouth breathing.
For mouth breathers.
So, yeah, I mean, you wear the masks if you can wear the masks, because you have to wear the masks, and now the NFL's getting serious because now they're talking about affecting actual in-game play.
Yeah, this is like the third time we've had to lap around this track in the last 3 weeks because just new cases keep popping up. People aren't doing what they need to do, and they need to take every precaution necessary.
Yeah, that's where we had cases in the Jets today where they sent everybody home as a precaution, but the Arizona Cardinals are on a plane as of the last 10 minutes to fly there to take on the Jets. It seems like they're ready to go. They could move the game an extra day based on what comes out of that, but basically the NFL is saying this is out of precaution more than anything else.
Well, it's pretty simple to understand why they're so cautious right now, because it is getting a little out of hand and people should be getting nervous about it.
15-yard penalty for barking. Automatic first down.
Start breathing with your nose.
Number five.
All right. Number five. We save it. It is the NBA game five tonight.
Oh, that's right. That's still going on.
That's right. We still have a bubble in effect right now. There is still a bubble.
No back-to-back-to-back-to-back games when it comes to the NBA.
They spread this one out a little bit. I mean,
well, it's the finals.
Right, but they wanted to take it from Tuesday to Friday.
Yeah. Which, 3 days is a long time, but also the Friday night crowd, though.
Yeah, it is still. I mean, 6 p.m. Pacific time start, so the Lakers and the Heat. So the Heat, if you're staying up to watch basketball, starts at 9 o'clock in Miami.
That's when everybody starts eating dinner to get ready to go out a normal world.
I suppose so. Go get a Cubano and some coffee or something.
Mm-hmm.
So Anthony Davis could get his ring for the first time. This would be LeBron James's fourth ring and a ring with another team, his third different team, if he can make it happen tonight.
That's rare.
Who's going to stand in his way? Well, it won't be Goran Dragic. He has been ruled out tonight. But Jimmy Buckets will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Herro will be there.
Good.
Bam will be there as well.
Excellent.
So
there's a chance.
Yes. There is a chance that the Heat could come back and play, but I have a feeling that there was another text message sent today from LeBron James to his teammates.
Well, sure, but it doesn't always have the desired effect as you intend, and we all saw how everybody was basically saying, yeah, it's going to be a sweep of a series until Game 3 and Jimmy Butler decided to show up and into a kind of an evolved version of himself, and he has Bam this time around, but it's going to be tough. I would think the Lakers are like, we got to get this done, and we got to get this done right now. But I also don't want to write off the Miami Heat either. I think there's at least one more stand in them.
Miami Heat in 2013 was their last championship. They have a championship sooner than the Lakers, more recent than the Lakers. The Lakers'
2010,
last championship,
right?
It was a full decade ago. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a repeat performance for one of these teams. It's just been a while for the Lakers, and I mean, I guess the same way for the Heat, too. The different Heat crew, there is no big three in the Heat.
No, because they're building it. Their garden is fully organic, Paul, for the most part. We're not just going to bring free agents in, but
mostly.
We don't want to just have it the two guys for this 1 year, and then we're going to see what happens. We have it spread out just a little bit more.
They do have some old growth timber, though, in Udonis Haslem.
True. Man, true. He is the glue.
Dude, that guy's face looks like erosion.
Yeah, well, because he's seen all of the championships and every year that they haven't won it.
Yes.
It would drive every member of that organization crazy, I'm sure.
Game 5 tonight, Miami Heat, Los Angeles Lakers should be a good one. Yes, they're still playing basketball in the bubble. Amazingly enough.
Mm.
There's your check down, PowerByRadio.com Sports, your 5 biggest stories of the afternoon. Coming up next, a monster opening day for the NHL and free agency, and the Vegas Golden Knights having a little roster makeover of their own. We'll talk about that next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Yes.
Do want to remind you, coming up this weekend, we do have college football action pounding down the doors. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, the Red River rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma. And tomorrow night at 4:30, we do have number 7 Miami taking on number 1 Clemson. That'll be a huge game coming up tomorrow night. So college football in the pipeline. It has been a long day for those of you and those of us who have been watching pretty much social media.
And the TV, Paul.
Honestly,
and
yeah,
the
but
TV.
Let's be honest, God. Lindsay. I think most people have been looking for one name, and the name that came up early this morning wasn't the name everybody thought it was going to be. Everybody was looking and refreshing for one Mr. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably all still refreshing. Let's be honest. Let me just do it right now.
Yeah, okay. Let's pause.
Click.
We have to stay up to date and provide the most up-to-date information to our listeners.
By the way, did you know Fleury is a pretty popular last name?
Yes. Like, yes.
You just can't type in Fleury.
Right.
There's a legitimate flower service that's order Fleury. I'm like, what is going on here?
Mick Fleurys.
Right.
Different spelling.
Right. But so we were all looking for that, like, throughout the day. I think, you know, those of us who, you know, are watchers of this special time in the NHL, we were all looking for that name. That's not the name that came up this morning. Matter of fact, it came up last night.
Yeah, with Stasny, with that deal. And Marc-Andre Fleury's name is still going to come up. Just because nothing has been done yet doesn't mean that nothing is in the works. And considering the names that we've kind of seen move around, including Paul Stasny, that gives you more breathing room if you're the Golden Knights, because we know how tight they were. They were literally at the ceiling of the cap yesterday before that deal gets done.
Ceiling? Oh my goodness. We had a head through like the particle board.
Correct. It's just like one arm is jutting out. They really could use that in Titanic, you know, when they were stuck on the pole thing. But nonetheless, the fact that they have breathing room and what we've kind of seen transpire in the goalie market today, I think it's more advantageous for them to kind of wait in the weeds, because we just saw Jacob Markstrom sign in the last couple hours. So Alex Pietrangelo has yet to pick a destination. And so all of these big teams that are attached to those two free agents, among the other ones that we find towards the top of the crop, you know, once those deals and those decisions are made, that enables everybody else to kind of move on and make other deals. And so that's where I just feel like we're all just waiting into the water a little bit slower than usual, because there's not as much money to go around. There's a lot more apprehension, and it's the first time we've all dealt with all of this packed into 1 week as well.
So let's talk about factual things right now. Paul Stasny is no longer a Vegas Golden Knight.
Nope.
He was the most notable deal for the Knights today. They lost two players today. We'll talk about player number 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul Stasny is now back in the PEG. We exchanged him for a 4th-round choice in the 2022 NHL entry draft. And a defenseman by the name of Carl Dahlstrom. He is 6'4". He's Ryan Reeves size. He's a Ryan Reeves.
We love hockey. People love seeing the 6'4". That's just like 6'4", 225. It's like, oh my God, he must be a top.
It's like
level
the 4'4", 40, right?
And I am not familiar with Carl Dahlstrom's game. I'm not. I'm going to be totally honest.
He's Swedish.
And we have a few Swedes on this roster.
Yeah.
But you know, the Winnipeg Jets decor was arguably their biggest weakness last year in the last few years, and he didn't really see the ice after January. And I know things ended in March, but you know, this is a pure move to get the cap space that is needed. That's straight up just what it is.
So Stasny's unloaded for $6.5 million.
Yep.
He gets to go back to Winnipeg, and we get Carl Dahlstrom at $850,000, which puts the Vegas Golden Knights now beneath the cap by about $2.8 million,
mm-hmm,
with still a couple of players they still need to sign to bring them up to full strength. Now, it's completely possible right now that the Vegas Golden Knights do not have to do a single thing.
Technically.
They don't have to do a thing except bring up a bunch of kids. They can bring up kids from the farm system, and guess what? You have been promoted.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's kind of what the plan is by sending Stasny out. And let's remember how many players that teams got to bring with them to the bubble. And just because we didn't see him at game time, they were all practicing every single day. I mean, Derek Englund talked about how he was practicing twice a day, once with the Vegas Golden Knights and once with the practice or the taxi squad. And so the teams and whoever was up there in the bubble management wise got an extended look at a lot of these young guys. And we saw not just one or two or three. We had a bunch of different guys that got looks last year as well. So maybe there's a little bit more of a confidence in the Cody Glasses or the Peyton Krebs and their ability to make this roster and to be able to be slotted in the top lines. And that's just the Golden Knights. That I'm not talking about the other teams that were in that as well. And so I think that's where they're kind of going with it right now, because the only other names that you could really think of is the Petrangelo, the Krug, if you lose out on that sweepstakes, or Stamkos. But otherwise, yeah, you do have the talent. They're first round picks. They're good. Like Cody Glass got injured. That's the reason why he wasn't on that roster at the end, you know. So they're willing to roll the dice, but you kind of have to be in this situation until you can at least get Fleury or some other big piece moved off.
So they do have the room now with Stasny moving out. It did help them quite a bit, created quite a bit of cap relief, and now they they can be a little bit more versatile, at least in terms of the free agent market. They don't necessarily have to bring up some youth. They can also sign a proven veteran in terms of offense, which is where they do need some help.
Yeah.
They do lose John Merrill today.
Yes, unfortunately, but he's going home. He's signing with Detroit on a one-year deal, just under $1 million. He was a University of Michigan product. He was born in Michigan, so we wish him well, because he hasn't been a huge part of the taxi squad. Was very involved early on, but then was definitely moved down the depth chart once they acquired Alec Martinez. But we need a right-handed D. We need a right-handed D so bad, Paul. He wasn't a right-handed D. Derek Englund's a right-handed D. Dylan Coughlin's a right-handed D, and Zach Whitecloud. Those are the only right-handed D we have on this roster out of the entire thing right now. And that was a problem for them in the playoffs. That was a problem for them in terms of your options breakout-wise. And so that's where they're going to be targeting a right-handed defenseman like Alex Petrangelo. And there's a bunch of different names that we can kind of go through with that. But they just don't have enough space right now to get a defenseman that would, I don't know, fit with this team right now, unless they just want to go with the young kids. You know what I mean? They're kind of in a middling growth period.
Right, and that's a lot of the players that were signed today outside of just this bumper crop of goalies that were free agents this season.
Those are the worst.
It was a lot of those guys that were maybe kind of borderline second line guys, but mostly third line and fourth line guys, the role players that could step in. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you were getting some top flight guys, but mostly when it came to top flight, it was really about goalies today that were moving around. And we saw the market get reset just a little teeny bit. It got bumped up when Vancouver settled for Braden Holtby.
Settled! I think it was just a choice, because there's just so much talent out there, and they had a big decision to make. They were pretty much the biggest kind of piece of the free agency goalie wise, because Jacob Markstrom was going to be the longest term. At least that's what was rumored to be, and had one of the most stellar seasons. So he was kind of like the big piece. But once those negotiations, I'm more interested to see how far apart he and Vancouver were. But once they decided on Holtby and that became true, you know, that makes the decision for Markstrom for him. And that's where it went. So Jacob Markstrom is now going to be playing for the Calgary Flames for the next 6 years at $6 million.
In a bidding war with Edmonton, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And 6 years is better than seven. And $6 million, I don't feel that uncomfortable with, but he is turning 31 in January.
How do you tip the scales between those two teams? Let's be honest, because we've seen them here as you know, Vegas Golden Knights. We get to see the Western Conference on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. You get to see Edmonton. You get to see Calgary. Is that just purely a money play? I mean, Calgary's looking to settle in, but I mean, I look at Edmonton's squad and I'm like, I mean, they really, that seemed to be the missing piece.
Well, they need defensemen real bad. And that's not new for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, that's why they traded away away Taylor Hall all those years ago for Adam Larson. It was not a good trade. But that's their biggest problem. They need another goalie on that Edmonton Oilers roster, but we know what the Edmonton Oilers are. They just sometimes can't get out of their own way. And as great as it is to have the idea of playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the back of your pocket, it's just that's they're offensive guys. That doesn't mean as much to goaltenders if it's just up and down, and it's odd man rushes left and right. And the Markstrom signing to Calgary is huge to me for that franchise. Like I feel like that franchise needed an upgrade in goal, and that is an upgrade and a half for them. And so that's where I tip the scales in terms of a trajectory at this point. I think Edmonton was more on the rise before that deal gets done. But you know, like we said, Edmonton still needs to add a goalie. So that could change here still.
So let's talk about the money portion of things, Lindsay. As we've seen today play out in terms of free agency and the numbers that were getting thrown out there and the numbers that people ended up signing to, that was 6 years for Markstrom at $6 million, as you mentioned, in Calgary. We saw Matt Murray, formerly of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, my God.
Get $6.25 million. So I ask you about the guy that we were all hitting refresh on throughout the day today, Marc-Andre Fleury, which has been talked about, you know, over and over and over again about how the Knights were going to pick up half the money and give a draft choice, and now it's $3.5 million. So for these teams that are still out there and you see where the market has been set, would you take a very good goalie, and I think Marc-Andre Fleury is still a very good goalie, will you take him for the next 2 years at $3.5 million, or do you roll the dice with what's still available out there?
Well, it just depends on where your team is in their progression. Are they expecting to win next year? Are they expecting to contend? Those are two different things. And we all know about the rumors that are swirling about his connection going back to Pittsburgh. But as we were just getting through talking about Edmonton, if I'm the Golden Knights, I'm leaning so hard on the Edmonton Oilers and a third team involved. But I want to get Marc-Andre Fleury up there because for the same reason they didn't get Jacob Markstrom, and the same reason why a lot of free agents tend to avoid that area, like Connor McDavid, they help a lot. But it's still the Edmonton Oilers. But there's legacy in there. We know about the history there with Wayne. We know about that kind of legendary. That is the only show in town. And so in their desperation to keep up with the rest of the Pacific Division, which are literally all swapping goalies. So just think Vancouver has a new goalie.
Correct.
San Jose has new goalies.
Yeah, we've all just changed hats at this point.
Right. And they haven't really done anything. And so there's a little bit of an arms race there, right? If everybody else is doing something but I'm not, there's social things that we all kind of like, what's happening? Why am I the only person on the odd person out? And so that's why I think the Golden Knights really need to pressure them. Because like you said, with the value between Markstrom and Matt Murray, it's not that far away from the $7 million price tag, but these guys are getting a longer term. This is more of a two-year rental. Then it can kind of usher Edmonton through the expansion draft here and then give them a chance and a dancing partner for Mikko Koskinen through the playoffs that has a little bit more playoff experience in Marc-Andre Fleury.
Right now, as you look at the Vegas Golden Knights lineup, and they've been rumored and linked to a number of people. We know that they have apparently had talks with Alex Pietrangelo, or at least reached out.
Yes.
Maybe it was a voicemail or a text. We don't know what that was about. Toronto was very open and upfront about
also hometown,
about trying to court him and his and Pietrangelo's agent. And we're talking about Alex Pietrangelo, formerly of the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, well, he's still a Blue,
right?
He is proven otherwise.
Right, in the technical sense, he still is, but as Toronto has financial issues as well. They can't offer him some big monster dollars.
Speaking of bloated contracts.
So when you talk about a guy like that, you talk about change makers, especially him. He's the only one that we can kind of pin down right now that the Knights may have had some discussions with. It behooves them to make yet another move at this point. They're going to have to do something to bring in a talent like that. They don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
So is it real? Is this even a real conversation for us to be having?
I think it's absolutely a real conversation, but it's something that it's a contingency. You know, it's like you said, we can't just go out and say like, Alex, we could sign you right now, because they can't. They would have to move Marc-Andre Fleury or another big chunk of salary, because it just the numbers aren't going to work. Alex Pietrangelo is not going to take a half, like a 50% discount to come play here. I don't care what the tax, you know, incentives are or how bright the lights are. It's just not going to happen. I think it's most likely that he re-signs with St. Louis. And that's where I think it's between Vegas and St. Louis rather than Toronto and Vegas and St. Louis, because for the exact reason you said, Paul, they don't have the space And not everybody wants to go play for their hometown. It's not exactly fun to play for, like, Toronto. If you're not playing well, if that team's not doing well, or, like, loses in the first round, since they never do that. Oh, wait. You're going to hear about it constantly. And so we know that that Pietrangelo has interest in coming down here, but he needs to bring his number down a little bit lower, too, so the Knights have a little bit more working room. But it just might be too much work on either side. It might be too much of a concession for him to give up that amount of salary, move his entire family. He has triplets, Paul. He just won a Stanley Cup that he captained to, and that's the only team that he's ever played with. So just, you have to it has to be that much better of a deal to mess all of that up and uproot everything. I just don't know if there's enough room, enough time, or enough grease with this team to get that deal done. But there's other defensive options. We don't have to get Alex Pietrangelo. I don't want Alex Pietrangelo for 7 years. I don't. And he's a great defenseman. He's great. But not in this climate. Not right now. And he's a defensive defenseman, so he'll have longevity. But I'd much rather go after an older guy that has 2 years left. I'd rather have Torey Krug, to be honest.
So you're leading me down the road to where I would think I was going to go, as I put myself in the shoes of Kelly McCrimmon and try to figure out exactly what I'm trying to do here. And Do I go? And I don't know where the mindset is, just based on the fact that the Stastny deal really was just trying to create space. Really, that's what it was.
It's a gasp for air.
And, you know, for Paul Stastny, for the 2 years that he spent here, you know, thank you. Thanks for being part of the club. Thanks for, you know, doing what you did. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to him and let him say proper goodbyes. Is this a youth movement? And I'm trying to figure out exactly where he's going with this, because literally, if you just sit right now, and you don't even think about the rest of free agency, you're not kicking the tires on anybody else out there, you can make this work. You're going to take a few bumps and bruises. But if I'm a criminal, I'm like, I still want to upgrade my roster in some way. All right. Still want to bring in some piece that I'm not sure we were missing. Is that piece still available to you, and can it come at the right price?
Yes, that's the thing. But that's the problem when you get tied to names, to big level free agents like Alex Pietrangelo. Everybody assumes that that's the only guy that you're interested in, and you kind of tunnel vision yourself as well, because you have to do so much work to try to make this theoretical kind of pipe dream a feasible option. Like Troy Stetcher, who was a very young defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks, had a big-time goal against the Golden Knights, and is a good puck-moving defenseman. He wasn't extended a qualifying offer sheet from Vancouver. Chris Tanev, also from Vancouver. I'm not saying pick up Chris Tanev, but they were pushed against the cap as well. Those are two quality defensemen. Chris Tanev's way older. He's one of the original members of that 2011 Cup run team at Vancouver. But I think Troy Stetcher, he's might be a little bit too pricey for you, but he's young, he's right-handed, he skates like the wind, and he's one of those guys that you can tell eats, breathes, sleeps hockey. And I'm not making a comparison to Mark Stone in terms of the way they are in players, but in terms of the love for the game and the dedication to it. And so why put all of our eggs in a basket that costs the amount that it's going to take to sign Alex Pietrangelo? And what if it doesn't work? What if he says no movement clause? What if he doesn't like it here? What if he gets hurt within the first 2 years? Because we're trying to maximize the window for the next 2 years, right? What if it's not in the next 2 years? I would rather bet on a younger guy that's cheaper, that has more to prove, that's a little more hungry.
Well, we have plenty of those. The signees beneath the active 23, there's plenty of that hunger. There's plenty of that there.
Yeah, we assume. We've seen the hunger from Troy Stetcher. We've seen the hunger. He's already proven that he can play at an NHL level, and that he can be kind of a spot start defenseman, because he wasn't always in the lineup.
But will he take $1.2 million?
I don't know. But there's
that's
a lot.
But,
there,
but that's
Paul,
what we have.
A lot of people
that's
are having these
have.
Conversations. Are you? Sure. A lot of people are having these conversations saying, I'm valued at $3 million. Well, buddy, you're going to have to probably take $1.5 or less. And that's why you do a shorter term deal. That's why you're seeing everybody do 2 year contracts. That's why it's a bridge deal. It's either a bridge to get over the troubled waters here financially, or it's a bridge through the expansion draft era. So that's what I mean. Why sign up? Why force yourself into a long term marriage at this point when it's so fluid and there's so many fish in the sea right in front of you? Right.
Well, sometimes stability is a good thing, and sometimes general managers want that stability with their lineups, because this is the core that they brought to the table.
We're talking third pair D. We have stability. So why not take a little bit more of a gamble here? I know that Alex Pietrangelo is the shiniest trophy out of all of this. We don't settle here. We don't settle down in Vegas. Really isn't a thing, is it? We're all just here to have a good time and make sure that we're maximizing what we have in the tools in front of us. So let's just be more malleable. Let's avoid having a situation like we're having here with Marc-Andre Fleury, where it's such an overbloated contract, either term-wise or dollar-wise. You want to be malleable. If as a championship roster, if you're talking about defensemen and stuff like that, you have to be more malleable than what you are right now.
Well, only one guy knows those answers. That's the GM, Kelly McCrimmon. He is scheduled to talk with the media at 5 o'clock today, and perhaps we'll get a little bit more insight into what the plan is moving forward as NHL free agency opens up. All right, coming up next, it's time to ride or die with who's got a pulse with your Raiders.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay on this Friday afternoon, back on the football field today. Trent Brown, who spoke to the media after practice and talked a lot about all those haters out there.
I mean, I can tell you straight off the back, I don't live for nobody complimenting. I'm not going to die by their criticism. So I'm a man, first and foremost. So I didn't get this far by listening to all that naysay and doubters. So I just come to work and do my job every day. I'm not the only one around the league that's injured. They should really just be happy it's not as serious as some of the other ones. So
he was full practice today. Questionable for the game.
Escalated quickly, though, for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Came right back, started rolling again Wednesday, Thursday, full practice today, ready to go. But, yeah, talked about some of the hate he's been seeing, you know, online. I mean, it's unavoidable. And athletes have been talking about this in the COVID era because they're not seeing the fans in person.
Right.
So they're only seeing what they see on social media.
The keyboard warriors.
Correct.
We're a lot more emboldened now because that's where a lot of us spend more time than we ever have before. And I also think there's something to be said about Derek Carr's played pretty well this season, right? And he's usually the one that kind of is the pooling for all the hatred around the team and the fail.
He's been the straight punching bag for Raider Nation for years.
I think, you know, just naturally we try to find an easy kind of scapegoat for something. I agree with him. He isn't the only one injured in the league. I don't judge him. Like, you can't go. I don't expect you to push your body through something for something like this if that's not what you want to do and that if it's not in the best interest of the team. And so it is what it is. I'm just happy that we're having back, because 2 weeks ago we were having the conversation, is he gonna play this season? And now he's back,
right back on the field,
and he's damn good. He's got a hell of a last name.
Yeah. And we've had him on with us before.
We have
head coach John Gruden didn't talk about all the injuries today.
We don't have a lot of alternatives. We don't have a lot of choices. We're already using a lot of different players. We're going to play guys that are healthy and ready to go. We're not going to put anybody in harm's way. But we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you're able to play, we're going to suit up the best men that we can.
If you could go, you could go. Listen, if you've got a pulse.
Right. Do you know how to run a button hook route?
Right. Listen, we're in a cover two, and that's the best we're going to do right now. Okay. I mean, think about it. It's, you know, it's Pat Mahomes. We know what the Chiefs are capable of. We know that's an explosive offense. And to be honest, the Chiefs have had the Raiders' number at Arrowhead.
Yeah. And so it's there's no reason to rush back because, first of all, your opponent's the Chiefs. So it's already going to be a tall task. And then second of all, what week is it of the season?
5.
We're not in the playoffs yet. Is this a Super Bowl coming up? Is this the time to put it all on the line, Paul, and sacrifice for your guy next to you? Yes. But not to the extent that's needed or that a lot of us expect, especially football players.
Well, Raiders will fall behind 3 full games with a loss. The Chiefs will have a 3-game advantage on the rest of the AFC West. And the only real contender right now, to be honest, is the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, they have Patrick Frankie Mahomes in the most deep roster that we've seen in a while for the NFL. So that's the way the cookie crumbles, to use that same line for the second time this week from Bruce Almighty. But and that's why I'm just like, I get it. We have to have the game face and we're trying to make improvements, but let's not mince words or expectations here. Like, it's an Arrowhead, too. And there's no fans. Like,
no, they'll have fans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they get to have fans.
Very few.
Yeah, 15,000.
Sure. But that's what I mean. You just do your best, you work hard, and you find somebody with a pulse.
I'm doing my best.
Doing my best.
Today, Henry Ruggs was out there full today, but he'll be listed as questionable as he comes back from that hammy injury. Also, as I mentioned, Brown, Collins up front on the defensive side, and Rico Gafford questionable as well. Brian Edwards will be out again. He has been the only person that's been ruled out. Most everybody else will make that trip with a few bumps and bruises. And Kansas City, coming off a short week, nearly clean.
Yeah.
Nearly clean.
But they did have a couple of opt-outs, and they had some injuries earlier this year that made their offensive line a little more soft, or defensive line. It's just, that's not the
offensive,
right.
Offense, yeah.
And so there are, every team has weaknesses, but the Raiders are going to have to play pretty damn well to give themselves a chance, you know?
They're 11-point dogs in this one.
Oh, that's
so
a lot.
It's not unexpected,
though.
You know what? So go in there and shock the system.
Yeah.
Just go in there and
shock
him.
You got Ruggs. You got the home run hitter.
As long as he can go. Got to make sure he can go.
First play, chuck that pigskin.
Darren Waller a little limited, too, but I'm sure he'll go.
He's fine.
There's no. He's fine. He's a gamer.
He's a gamer.
He had a charity event.
Yeah.
Told people to wear masks, and no one wore masks, but he had a mask on.
Right.
Weird.
If he couldn't go, he wouldn't be going.
Right.
Right.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, should we all be mad about the Astros and the LCS?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Breakdown of week 5 of the NFL. Lindsay's and my picks coming up here in about 12 minutes, as well as news on the Lord.
The Lord! Has he risen?
Talk about that, and
well, that's right. That's what you literally
11 minutes.
Just
I literally
said.
Just said that. Did you want me to spoil?
I'm
spoil
a little
it for you now.
Distracted, Paul. There's a lot going on, but we shall wait. Patience is a virtue. I've heard.
Understandable. You're probably thinking about what should I have for dinner tonight.
No.
Really?
We figure that out like 2 minutes before we eat dinner, and then we don't make that decision.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm mad.
Why?
The Astros are in the LCS.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about the fact that they're there. I'm mad about the fact that they're cocky as you know what.
Yeah.
We're all here. We're out here to prove that we can do it without the clapping and the bang and the drum banging. Y'all should have done it without the clapping and the drum banging, first of all.
Right.
But now they're all like Bash Brother high-fiving each other and stuff and doing all kinds of salutes, and they're bat flipping more than the Padres now. It's just weird. The Astros come in with this monster chip like they have something to prove, and I'm like, y'all cheated.
Yeah, and they're kind of treating it as a get-out-of-jail-free card, but that's what you need to do to change the narrative, and we've never seen a narrative quite like theirs. But it takes an equally seismic thing to start to offset that, and I agree with you. I am not happy. I am 100% against this. I didn't want them to play. I wanted them to contract the team, honestly. But you got to respect the fact that they've won. But I also don't. I also think that it's a much different situation.
No, I don't have to respect that at all.
I'm not saying that you don't have to respect them. You have to respect the fact that they're winning. You have to respect the result, because that is the result.
Yeah, they beat a couple of decent teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give them that they beat a couple of decent teams. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, the fact that they still have World Series rings in a year where they cheated.
Yes.
The team was not punished. It was the managers that were punished.
Yep. And it's annoying. We were on top of this when all of this came down, Paul. We were at the front of the public mutiny against the Houston Astros and the lack of punishment that they received. And I think if we have fans, if it's not 2020, like everything else is different, obviously, but I don't think they have this level of success, because once they start believing in themselves with the Minnesota Twins, who were overwhelmingly the better team, but they shut their offense down, and that's what the Minnesota Twins are. Like they hit the most home runs ever last season, and they were a pretty hot team until the playoffs. But once they did their song and dance that they always do in the playoffs, which is we don't win anything, get that little confidence, and you have the next round, you build it. It's easy to see how this train gets rolling. And like I said, you have to respect the role, even though you don't respect
sure.
the caboose.
In the playoffs, you teams get hot. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Dodgers are the Dodgers, who we carry here on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
The hottest.
Yeah, I mean, they swept two series already.
They've lost. Well,
to get to this point. No, they've
yeah, they haven't
swept the Brewers, and then they just They just swept the Padres. And the Padres, I thought, were the bigger threat, to be honest, because they were young and brash and, you know, had deep pitch, had good pitching, not deep pitching, and they were being a little bit unorthodox.
But, well, comeback kids, too.
But their bats went cold. I mean, they went stone cold against the Dodgers. And, you know, credit to the pitching staff, obviously, you know, Buehler and Kershaw, you know, did really well. And and you know, Urias yesterday, you know, went almost five innings and basically shut down the Padres when the Dodgers bats got hot. You know, seeing in the postseason, you know, teams get rolling and whatnot, you know, that I totally understand. I'm just like, y'all need to take a chill pill, be a little bit more humble about where you are. You know, just because, you know, Carlos Correa decided to all of a sudden wake up here in the playoffs as opposed to what the regular season went like. Listen, I get that.
You know,
the ability is there, but y'all need to just, you know, just win.
Well, it's a tactic.
Walk off the field.
It's a tactic. It's unplug to get people like you riled up.
Unplug your guitar, walk off the stage, no encore.
And honestly, I who's to say they're not using this as a means to kind of get in their opponent's head? Because we saw how many hit by pitches they were receiving early on, and as they should, the bill will be paid. But things kind of tighten up in the playoffs. So maybe they're trying to get people to overextend and get focused on the wrong part of the game, or trying to get back because they are being super cocky, and then there's all the history as well. Maybe that's what it is.
I'm not going to say that if the Yankees win or the Rays win that I'm going to be the biggest fan of that team going up against the Astros, because I'm not a Yankees guy. And definitely the Rays. I mean, I couldn't name five guys on the Rays team. But I will cheer for them with the most passion ever given to said team to make sure that the Astros do not get to the World Series.
And I don't think you're alone in that.
But all I can do is cheer.
I can't cheer for the Yankees, so if they make it, like I said, the AL's dead, at least to me.
Just put a shovel in them.
Yep. Buried.
Tombstone.
It's gone. Go Rays, I hope. Otherwise, it's dead forever to me.
All right, coming up next, we'll check in on a lot of football news, give you our picks for week number 5 as the Playmakers rolls on.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number 2 getting underway. She's Lindsey Brown. I'm Paul Iyander.
What up?
And we are socially distant, 6.345 feet apart.
But not in our hearts, Paul.
No, that's true.
Not in our hearts. Those are intertwined.
Sometimes a little rent-free in each other's heads, but that's just kind of how
slightly.
It works. So we do have some football news coming your way. We do have the latest in hockey free agency coming up at 4:22. And then we're going to talk about things athletes just shouldn't do in locker rooms. That's coming up at 4:42. That'll be an interesting conversation because Lindsey has spent a lot more time in actual locker rooms with actual people who compete for things besides just glory.
Well, don't sell yourself short over
it's
there.
It's been a while since I've been in a locker room that actually really meant something.
I miss it.
Outside of
that's what I miss the most about hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The competition the or the locker room feels.
No, the competition. I compete in everything. It's never about that. It's about the people around you and what you're doing before practice, after practice. There's just interactions with the people around you, just like all the rest of us.
Yeah, we'll bust into that here in later on in the hour. All right, let's get our football at 4 segment started. All righty. Lamar Jackson is no longer puking or stomach cramps or whatever
tummy
it was.
Ache, right?
Yeah, he went full practice today in Baltimore. Also did not have a knee brace on today, so that's good news for him. He had a little knee tweak or something.
Why do they take off the braces? Why do they? I mean, there's a little bit more of an added mobility, but if there's a chance,
he's really fast.
I know that. So why does it? Do we need to be at the peak fastness?
I don't know. I just want to make sure he was all good. Make sure he was all good to roll through.
You are his doctor. That's why I'm asking.
I am. Dr. Iyander.
Yep.
That's right. DMD.
Yep. DMD. DMD.
Dentists are doctors too.
Yeah.
They are. The Ravens have some other questionables as whatever and things like that. It's Marquise Brown, really, and Mark Andrews, but they should all be good to go. Kyle Shanahan, San Francisco 49ers, says quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo will start Sunday against Miami. Yes, after missing 2 games, Jimmy Garoppolo is back.
Oh, my gosh.
He, though, is going to have some questionable. Jeez.
It worked. Sending all of our good vibes up into the universe towards the Lord, and he's back at least for a week. But you know, NFL isn't the same without his face,
right? The good Reverend,
yeah, the good Reverend.
he might be without Raheem Mostert and Deebo Samuel again. They are questionable for the game against Miami.
They got George, though, right? George is good?
George is good to go.
Right on.
Yeah, George is good to go. Unfortunately, if you happen to be a Los Angeles Charger, I don't know what they're going to do about the medical staff there.
What happened now?
Austin Eckler went to injured reserve today. He is the seventh starter to go on IR as a Charger this season. The seventh.
And usually when that stuff happens, you look at the athletic training staff and how they train, but it is the year that is weird.
It is a weird year.
And they are definitely getting hit with the unfortunate, you know, spank a few more times than others.
So they get to, Anthony Lynn's like, hey, we're going to make sure that Justin Herbert's a starter for us here. He's got no one to play with.
Right.
Mike Williams will be back. He came back to practice today, so should have Mike Williams back at one side of the offensive line and Keenan Allen at the other. So that should help him out a little.
Mm. Who are they playing again?
They have New Orleans on Monday night.
That's right.
The Monday night game that did not get moved, even though that hurricane's coming ashore in Louisiana.
Well, it's still Friday, isn't it?
It is, but New Orleans is going to get spared. But the rest of the state, unfortunate. There's flooding in Baton Rouge and whatnot, so that's not good news down there.
Hopefully everything's okay.
They are going to play the Jets-Cardinals game as of right now. Cardinals are wheels up flying there. It is official that Sam Darnold has been ruled out. You know what? As soon as the Jets heard that they had a positive COVID test, I could just imagine Joe Flacco going, oh, come on!
And everybody else said, okay, oh, we have to go home. Oh, no. We can't play this week. Oh, no. But yeah, I would be a little excited if I were Joe Flacco. A little frustrated because this is his first week starting.
Yeah, exactly.
A little disrupted.
Be ready to go.
Yeah.
Be ready to go. Vita Vea, unfortunately, during last night's Tampa Bay loss to Chicago, which is strange for me to say that out loud, he suffered a broken leg.
Who did?
Last night. Defensive tackle, Vita Vea.
Oh, no.
And so he's going to miss the rest of the season. That's a big loss for Tampa up front. They still have Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah. But, oh, that's right. He's on that roster, too.
Right.
Literally everyone is there. Literally everyone.
Yeah.
And it's getting a little rocky on the pirate ship, isn't it?
It is.
Tom's yelling at people, isn't he?
He was very frustrated during last night's game. It was very clear that he was not happy. And to be honest, I mean, if you watched that game last night, folks, and you saw how well Khalil Mack played, you just gonna be like, man, how did we let him go?
Right. And Wirfs is
Tristan Wirfs, yeah,
he lined up across on the other side. He's a rookie. So it's not exactly a favorable thing. And we know that Tom isn't really fleet of foot.
No, he is not. That is very clear. When you got Tom Brady back there, he is not a running threat. I mean, he never really was to begin with, but definitely now.
Not just running, like even just moving around the pocket and peeling out to buy some time. That's just not him at all. We're not talking about running. We're just talking about getting some more breathing room.
Three-step drop throw.
You know what would help? Knowing what down it is. That might have been helpful.
What he said he knew it was.
I'm sure.
It kind of felt like... No.
It's okay to admit that you made a mistake and that you're a human.
That's a weird thing about pride.
Yeah.
You
said it,
and being,
man.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Also in some injury news to pass along, Lindsay's favorite receiver, Julio Jones, officially questionable.
B-.
Officially questionable.
Mm.
They're Atlanta and Carolina playing this week. And
Carolina.
No Jamal Adams this week for the Seattle Seahawks.
What
he will not play. He's got a groin injury.
Oh, crap.
And so, but he's going to come back after the bye week.
Playing Minnesota, so you don't really need that much.
Right.
So,
we do have a couple of games coming up for you on Sunday in terms of the NFL here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. First game starting at 10 o'clock is Jacksonville taking on the winless Houston Texans. That'll be an interesting matchup to see how well Houston bounces back from all the kind of week full of turmoil.
I expect a win.
For Houston?
For Houston.
Over Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer believing in the Minshew?
No, I do believe in the Minshew, but I believe more in the push towards kind of bringing the team together in Houston now that Bill O'Brien has been let go. And it wasn't just like, he is gone and we need to come together. They made sure that he was going to be gone.
Right.
And so I think they're going to show up for Romeo Crennel and his first head coaching game for the Houston Texans. And it's not like the Jaguars are world beaters yet. So I think that as much as I do love the Minshew mania, it's not going to be a fun time for him this weekend.
Cowboys' Tyron Smith will be out for the season. He's going to undergo neck surgery. That's a big blow for them. He's the left tackle. So that
they're
is,
in contention at 1-3.
That is Dak Prescott's like ultimate protector there. So that's,
all those stats are going to start to go down. I wonder if that'll translate to more wins then.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows if that's actually going to be a thing?
They're playing the Giants.
That is unfortunate. And a note for the Patriots-Broncos game, which was moved to Monday night, along with that Chargers-New Orleans game. They're going to play in a doubleheader. That game, Patriots-Broncos, starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In Denver time. That's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, 2 o'clock here.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
What the hell's going on out there?
It'll be Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit calling that game. Herbstreit says he wants to call more NFL games. So... it's not a bad tandem for NFL.
Can we do we have to give the select few everything? Do you not think that there are other people qualified out there?
I don't think it's a matter of qualifications. It's just a matter of what's available and who's available.
Okay. Well, that could be the reasoning, but also it could just be we're going to put all the resources towards some people. And Herbstreit, I like Herbstreit, but just we don't have to. We can have other people do things. Like, be good at what you do.
We could. Lots of big matchups coming up this weekend. Bengals taking on the Ravens. Bengals are 1-2-1. Baltimore 3-1. We just talked about Lamar Jackson coming back.
I like the Bengals.
Do you really on this one?
I kind of do.
We're not even talking about the spread where Baltimore's favored by 13.
I mean, we've talked about how inconsistent Lamar Jackson's been to start this season, and not just the Chiefs game. And there's a lot of noise going around this week, and that ruling that came down in terms of the interactions with the refs, right? The new mandate
Correct.
By the NFL, largely due towards the interaction that their coach, John Harbaugh, had with the ref last week, right?
Yep.
And so I think there's a little bit of a distraction factor. Tummy ache, knee brace is now off. Maybe he's too fast. And there's something about Joe Burrow, man.
So you're smelling upset here in this one. Even without the spread or with the spread? That's the thing.
Okay.
It's 13.
I don't like spreads. I like my bagels plain, Paul.
It's a 13-point favorite.
Yeah.
13.
I just go with what my gut tells me. That's what I do.
It's
worked out so far.
You're thinking that Joe Mixon is going to run for 150 yards. That's what you're thinking.
All I know is that on Wednesday, when we made our picks for Thursday Night Football with Sam and Ash, who said that the Bears were going to win and we're going to keep it within 3?
They covered.
That was me.
They won outright.
Yeah.
I ended up making a little money on that game last night.
Your wealth expanded how
Well, it was in the two-minute warning. It wasn't much.
How much?
I'm back to even on the season. That's how good it was.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm back to even on the season.
Have you bet
it only took
already?
5 weeks.
It only took 5 weeks
took
to dig yourself
I
out.
I got rolled last week in not just NFL, but college football. Last week was a rough week
parlays. Just like go.
I know.
Be good at what you do. Just make one bet, not do five things at once.
But the parlay is the, you get the.
Oh. This is how I coach the goalies. You guys are doing too many pushes, too many things to worry about. Do less.
Battle of Pennsylvania, the Eagles and the Steelers, the first place Eagles, the first place Steelers.
I hate the NFC East so much.
Place.
I hate them.
First place by like percentage points.
Are we?
And the Steelers are coming off like 2 weeks. They've been sitting for so long now.
There's the thing, and you know the Eagles got their was it last week their first one of the season.
Week,
so they're rolling with some momentum. What's the Steelers defense like this year? Are they decent? They usually are. I mean, it's Tomlin,
okay.
Right?
They're pretty good.
So
they're pretty good.
I don't know. I'm still not on the bandwagon with Carson Wentz this season, so we'll see how that percolates. And last time I checked, he doesn't have a lot of hands to throw to right now either.
No.
So
these hands aren't
favors the Steelers, even though they've had a little bit of an extended nap.
Yeah, I'm digging Pittsburgh in that one, too.
Yeah.
Rams and Washington. Rams 3-1. Washington Football Club, which apparently news came out today that the Alliance is a nickname that they are pondering with Washington.
The Alliance?
The Washington Alliance.
So is that a plural or is that a singular? Like, as it is it the alliances? Like, do we have to add on?
Alliance.
So it's
the Washington Alliance.
I don't like, because now it's always going to be, it's the same thing with Minnesota Wild. Is/R. Which one is it? Depends on the person.
Gotcha. So Rams at Washington. It'll be Kyle Allen getting the start there.
Your guy.
Right? Yeah, he's my guy.
Your guy.
I'll own up to it.
Him and Herbie.
I've owned that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Haskins is sitting third chair now, who unfavorited them, apparently, on social media.
What do you mean he unfavorited them?
He unfavorited, like, he stopped following Washington. Like,
okay.
I know. It's just all
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Things... We're going to get more into that later, I think.
Yes.
But maybe Dwayne's not too as far removed from Selfiegate as we thought.
We'll see how this all works out. It's clearly it's the Rams game to lose. in this one.
Well, they're more than capable. Ask Big Dan.
Yes.
Down the hall.
Carolina at Atlanta. Falcons need a win. Dan Quinn could actually finally lose his job. This could be the week.
Where it just the water breaks, even if the team doesn't quit on him.
This could be the week.
Arthur Blank just gets embarrassed.
Or if it just gets ugly. The Falcons haven't been this bad since before the turn of the century.
Or maybe this is just the karma for trading up to get Julio. Because if they were to get him naturally, they would have had to be this bad, right? To get it. Didn't they pick him at 2 or 3 or 4? What was he? 5, maybe?
Yeah,
it was right after Trent Richardson's, right?
Richardson was
4.
3.
3. Then it went Matt Khalil. Then it went Julio, right?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, yeah.
Look at that. So maybe it's just the bill coming due.
I suppose.
I tend to agree with you, though.
The Panthers should take this one.
0-5 looks a lot differently on a sheet than 0-4
does.
Well,
it looks a lot differently with an Atlanta team, too. We're not talking about the Jets, who were kind of dismantled in the offseason. We're not talking about the Jaguars, who were dismantled in the offseason.
And neither of those teams have been to a Super Bowl in the last 5 years. I mean, Jacksonville was close.
You're not even talking about the Giants, who have new head coaching, so they can at least get kind of that little pass.
Right. Well, yeah, and then just like the passing of the torch to Eli, like they don't have enough disruption in their team to blame it on something. They don't. It's just straight up ineptitude. It's straight up mediocrity.
It's just not a good football team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if they don't get something going here today, especially because the Panthers are a true rebuilding team and one that's doing a pretty good job through the last couple of games.
Yeah, a lot of spare parts there.
And it's a divisional game. The Falcons have played at least 3 of those already. Like,
yeah, the Panthers are playing inspired football under Matt Rhule.
Maybe he gets spared another week just for the fact because Tampa was beaten last night.
I suppose,
they're still in technical striking distance.
Man,
but
no,
I mean, I just think there's too much. But we've been saying that for weeks.
I know, but the Panthers are surprising people.
Yeah,
I do like the Panthers in this one.
They're an upstart team. They might be the Rams from a few years ago, to be honest.
We did touch on Jaguars and Texans already. Mm-hmm. Cardinals and the Jets feels like Arizona.
They need to get back on track.
Inconsistent, like crazy.
Hot start to the season, and then it's the turnovers. They're putting the ball on the ground a lot.
Well, Murray's trying his hardest, and I don't think he needs to try that hard.
Well, because if he doesn't see the pass, he instantly goes and runs. Like, he instantly goes. There is an option where you can throw the ball away. Instead of opening yourself up and then running and maybe just staying in bounds and running down the clock yourself. That's not always, like, you're not always in the lead, right?
Yeah, Arizona was the team that hosed me last week.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling to pick them again, but I don't see the Jets getting past Arizona. I just don't.
Yeah,
there's just not enough team there in New York.
Arizona it's their game to lose. They would have to lose real bad.
Okay, so it was a bad loss last week for the 49ers. Obviously, I mean it was the Philadelphia.
The Lord
was Philadelphia.
Sleeping still.
Right, the Lord was out for 2 weeks. So it's the Dolphins and the 49ers here. San Francisco favored by 9. Kittle's there. Jimmy Garoppolo's
back. They
have
enough.
Yeah, the 49ers have enough to get past. The Dolphins. God, the Dolphins are so scrappy, though.
Yeah.
They're just a scrappy team.
Yeah, and they don't have Bosa. Do you think that's a big deciding factor? But they are still going with Fitzmagic, though. Like, if they went to Tua, it's a different thing because it's a new quarterback, and I'm not saying that's what they should do.
Yeah, he's still
learning. But the 49ers, like, they've suffered a lot of injuries, too, and they've pretty much weathered the storm.
Yeah, they're getting guys back, too, this week.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. They're going to get a few guys back.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is a
San Francisco. They're a more complete team.
San Francisco win. Colts and Browns, which we have here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. That's our second game on Sunday. Both teams 3-1.
It's kind of a prove-it game for both teams, isn't it? Are you for real this year?
It's a little different, but see, Cleveland doesn't have Chubb.
True.
Indianapolis got a great defense. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. And the offensive line is good enough to keep old man Rivers clean.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do very much. I mean,
he's not chucking it 50 yards like he used to have to in San Diego or in LA, I should say.
I would take the under on this one. The over-under is 47. I would take the under.
I don't
think they're going to get there. I don't think this is a high-powered game.
Especially with Chubb out. I mean, they still have Hunt on Cleveland's side, but it's such a different offense when you're asking Baker to do more, at least this year, from what we've seen so far.
Boy, so does it feels like a Colts game.
I'm sick of that. I'm sick of the Colts kind of backing into a winning record.
It feels like a Colts.
It's so weird.
Ripe for the Colts to take.
Yeah.
It really does.
That's weird.
The only other game on Sunday right now is the Giants and Cowboys. 0-4. The Giants only one game out of first place. 1.5 game.
Right.
And the Cowboys half a game out of first. It's basically Jason. This should have been a much better matchup. It clearly is not.
None of those the NFC East, if it's involved, it's not a good matchup. We've learned that this year.
It should have
been. Look away.
It should have been a good matchup.
And you're lying about it. It's the only remaining matchup on Sunday. We haven't talked about the Seahawks-Vikings game.
Okay, so this is the last afternoon game.
That's Sunday night, isn't it?
Giants-Cowboys. No, this is an afternoon game.
Giants-Cowboys.
So, okay, you don't even want to talk about
this. No, because with what you said, it should be a good match, but it's not.
Dak Prescott's going to throw for 400 again, and it'll be 34-21. Cowboys. I think Cowboys get a win here.
We'll see.
So you don't think the Cowboys are going to win?
No.
No, okay. So you got the Giants.
I'll take the Giants. Okay. I'll take your boy, Daniel Jones.
All right. I do like me some Daniel Jones.
You do.
He just has nobody to throw to.
You like the generic name, guys.
Yeah,
you do. Allen.
I like the plain people, Lindsey Brown.
Yeah, exactly. The only shining example otherwise is Herbert. Herb is pretty.
I do like me some Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. but again, I did go to the school of the land of backup quarterbacks.
You
in the
are
NFL.
Drinking the Kool-Aid hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Grape Kool-Aid is the best.
Oh, yes. The purple drank, you say?
Purple drank.
The purple drank.
All right, so the Sunday night game is the Minnesota Vikings, speaking of things purple, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, God.
Is there any sort of saving grace here, Lindsay, for the Minnesota Vikings
nope.
at this point?
No, nope, because even with Jamal Adams' absence in the defensive side for the Seattle Seahawks, Kirk Cousins isn't really that creative this year. He's not hitting any of really his easy throws. I mean, they can go into the ground game with Dalvin Cook, but Russell Wilson is having not just an MVP season, like a transcendental season, Patrick Mahomian level season. And the Vikings have like literally all new kids on the defensive side of the ball.
But I think Seattle's going to have to outscore Minnesota because
it's not that hard.
I know, yeah, but based on how they played New England, I mean, New England put up 31.
The Vikings are not New England. The Vikings are.
You don't believe
not
in. You don't
New
believe
England.
In Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson.
Kyle
Rudolph is he still there?
Yeah, he is still there. I do believe them. I do not believe in Kirk Cousins, and he's the one. You talk about a third team involved in every single exchange.
That's
there,
rough.
He's always involved.
How many more years does he have on that contract?
At least two. They re-upped him,
like
and then they re-upped Zimmer,
million.
And
I mean,
then they re-upped.
He got
Spillman.
Franchise money.
He had the first ever fully guaranteed contract, Paul, the year after they went to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum. And you know where we've gotten since? The second round. We keep beating the Saints, which is the only saving grace. The only thing that has kept me happy at this point.
Right.
But I've barely watched any Vikings football this year. And it's for good reason, because they're hot garbage.
Yeah, but you can't go to your favorite bar, though, either.
I know. I haven't gone there because I just know it's not going to be as fun. Yeah. It's not going to be as fun.
Sad.
And that's purple drank. You got to know when to step away.
You'll have to like Zoom party with other
Otherwise,
Vikings fans.
You just get hallucinations when you think you're something that you're not, like a contending team. Just be what you are.
There's your football at four here. Coming up next, got a lot of hockey news to power through. It's coming up here on the play.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Come on. Paul and Lindsay with you on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for...
Greetings. Forgot to turn on my mic. I was so excited to talk about hockey. I apologize.
There you go. Just a reminder, if you missed any portion of the program or if you hear an interview here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and like, wow, that was interesting, make sure you download the radio.com app from the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. It is free. Put it on your smart device and then you can activate the rewind feature by favoriting us. Just search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper left-hand corner. I think I have hit refresh on my browser probably northwards of 1,000 times today, starting when I woke up just after 3 a.m.
Like normal people do.
Like normal people do, because I always have things that roll through my head constantly, like over and over and over.
Same girl, same.
And I started thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to get some work done, started watching some documentaries, but all the while looking at a browser off to my right, searching for the last name of Flurry. And By the way, Fleury is a very common name.
It is.
you'll notice that on my browser over here, I actually have a keyword search that comes up every time somebody mentions Fleury, and it's just constant. But there's one thing that sticks out for me on this first day of free agency for the NHL, and this is from a Rogers Sportsnet, John Shannon, reporting in the last 2 hours that Edmonton GM Ken Holland says he expects to add a goaltender in the next 24 hours.
Time to start racing.
Could this be the deal that we've been sitting on as the Vegas Golden Knights? Edmonton's looking for a goalie. They have some cap space. We're offering a pretty decent number. Mm-hmm. And again, what has been widely reported is that the Golden Knights will offer $3.5 million, basically take half of Fleury's salary and deal a pick.
Yeah, and they need a goaltender. Right now, they only have Mikko Koskinen, who's on roster, at least part of the starting tandem that they had last year. And he's not anybody that I would say ride or die with. And so they're going to have to add. And that's why I said earlier, Paul, I think the Golden Knights really should lean on Edmonton because of that hole on their roster, because they lost out on the Jacob Markstrom sweepstakes. And because maybe some of the free agents around that haven't signed, we've seen a fraction of the amount of contracts signed today, multitude of factors. But in terms of getting everybody, the moth towards the flame approach, essentially. Once people start going to Edmonton, and I know you're incentivized with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but that's all they have. And so they need a goaltender. That's been a huge problem for them for years, in addition to their blue line. But if one's weak, if the defense is weak, you better have good goaltenders. And if the goaltenders are weak, then you better have good defense. So they got to pick one. And Marc-Andre Fleury, as a name, as a brand, would be an excellent addition to that stable there and to that legendary kind of alumni base that they have in Edmonton.
But right now, Marc-Andre Fleury is still a Golden Knight.
Yep.
He is still here and fits nice and snug under the salary cap. Like, the Vegas Golden Knights can sit right now, not do anything more than what they did this morning, which was trade Paul Stastny to Winnipeg.
They can exist, yep.
Provide themselves about $5.7 million in cap relief, which puts them under the line right now where they need to be. They can still sign some youthful players, maybe grab a veteran at about $1 million, $1.2 million, and not have any problems.
Right.
But do you see a problem with that strategy, Linz?
The problem with the strategy is that they have a ton of money dedicated to a position where only one of them is on the ice at a time. No matter what, one of them will be on the bench every single night. Whether it's the $5 million or the $7 million, one will not touch the ice unless the other one is pulled. But guess what? If that one is pulled, there's still only one on the ice. And so that is too much of a resource in terms of dollars dedicated to a position like that.
And $12 million right now.
Right, $12 million to one position, and only one of them can be on the ice at a time. And this isn't a team that is, you know, stacked to the gills the rest of the way. They need to shore up their defensive core. They need a right-handed defenseman. They need some more depth in their third and fourth lines. And I'm not saying that necessarily means we got to go trade for someone or sign a free agent. That might be, you know, bringing up some of the young guns from below us. But regardless, if you want to have an option, instead of just saying, we have to go rely on Cody Glass 100%, we have to rely on Zach Whitecloud to play top 4 minutes, we have to bring Nick Hague. Like, if you think they're ready, and maybe they are, because management did have an extended look at them in the bubble, because they're all part of the taxi squad, as they did for everybody that was invited. Every team had that. So, again, another factor why that you're not seeing as many signings, in addition to the financial waters, to the expansion draft. There's so many different factors. But that's why it's important for them to lean on the teams that clearly have an issue that needs to be addressed. And that's the Edmonton Oilers and that open goalie position. So, yeah, I would be pushing those chips and trying to find a third team to trade with. But if they haven't suggested it yet and they're already in the conversation, don't say anything. Just have them take the whole thing. Like, it's Edmonton.
The Tampa Bay Lightning find themselves in a weird situation right now. Mm-hmm. Winners of the Stanley Cup, but we have a flat salary cap. And so Kevin Shattenkirk, who is now moving west, he is now signed with the Anaheim Ducks, who find themselves in a situation where they're going to have to shed some salary because they're over the cap now.
Well, they're the dumping ground right now, and they have a bunch of guys that make bloated contracts, like David Backes, who was traded for last year for the Bruins.
So they have Tyler Johnson put on waivers, mm-hmm. and now they find themselves not in the space where they can go after some of the higher profile free agents, which have basically been left out of what has happened today. Now, granted, it was a lot of goalies that went. I mean, it was a,
the highest of profiles.
It was the ultimate of the goalie merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was
and
just
it's not done.
It was just hats everywhere. You know how it was going to work when when everybody thought that Anton Khudobin was going to leave Dallas, and all he did was basically hop on a plane, and all he did was taxi the plane. And they just pulled it right back into the gate and said, you know what? I'm going to stay.
Right. We just went down one stair into the pool and then went right back out instead of waiting all the way in, because he's a valuable piece to anyone, but especially to the Dallas Stars. And everybody's dealing with an unprecedented market. And some players like Anton Khudobin, I've never seen a market like this for them, especially at the age that they are. And that's every single goalie, every single team, every single possible trade has its own like intricate kind of universe to it, because it's just there's so much going on, and it's just it's confusing and it's tough. And that's why it's so hard for them to move the Marc-Andre Fleury contract. But at least they bought themselves some breathing room with that Paul Stastny trade. But until they move him or another big piece, if that's what they want to do, because like you said, Paul, they can go. They still have to sign a couple of people, but they can go. You know, that's the way it's going to be constructed. And I don't think this team is done. I don't think most teams are done. I know that there's a lot of rumors swirling around Pittsburgh with Fleury, and there's always people waiting in the wings. And with Tampa Bay, you got offer sheets out there. You have so much talent stockpiled there. They re-signed a couple of their lower guys, like Patrick Maroon, re-signed there for the next couple of years. So they're probably the one that's backed in most to the corner. And I'm surprised we haven't seen more teams starting to push on them and take advantage of that with offer sheets or what have you. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a respect factor because they just won like literally a week and a half ago.
Well, teams have been clearing cap space. We know that right now. And there are some bigger names that are available out there. The Alex Petrangelos, obviously, Taylor Hall. And there, you know, a lot of the GMs right now that have been talking today, or at least have had come up for air mm-hmm. to be able to talk, saying the salary crunch is the reason why these guys are still out there, that are taking their time because they may not be getting what they're worth or being offered what they're worth.
Right. Or the term that they want. Or they might be still trying to decide that themselves, because we know for a fact that players are not getting their true value this year. I mean, when Mike McKenna was on the Nightcap podcast with me yesterday, which you can find on the radio.com app, search out The Nightcap, include the, he anticipated that everybody was basically taking 20% less of their market value. So if I'm Taylor Hall and I'm looking to cash in, if I'm Alex Petrangelo, much different situation. Let's stay with Taylor Hall. Do you want to sign a 6-7 year deal? Do you want to sign and make that long-term commitment into that dollar amount when it's a bigger gamble? It's uncertain waters. It's very choppy, but it might be more favorable a couple years from now. You know, we're seeing, we saw 28 one-year deals signed today, 17 2 years, 5 3 years, and 1 6-year. That's not normal. That's not normal in terms of the terms that are signed. And so you live in that, we all live in that market, right? So those players that were signing for 1 or 2 year deals now, some of them are lower level players, but it means everybody's market is resetting in a couple of years. And so that's where you're just kind of saying, is this the absolute best time to cash in from a player standpoint, seeking, you know, their next big deal, or from a team standpoint? That was the argument that I made earlier with Alex Petrangelo, why I don't want him on this team for the term that he's rumored to be asking for. It's not that I don't want him on this team, but I don't want somebody for 7 years. And so that's why the versatility and just having that ability to be autonomous, I think, is the biggest piece that not a lot of us are discussing right now, because we're not operating in a world right now that any of us are used to or anticipated.
Well, we're 7.5 hours in on the signings so far, where we have 59 signings. So roughly 9 or so an hour if we just did the quick math. Now, early today, the Vegas Golden Knights kicked things off a little bit. This wasn't a free agent signing, but they did make a trade, sending Paul Stastny to Winnipeg, and in return getting a defenseman Carl Dahlstrom and a conditional fourth-round draft choice in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Stastny talked with TSN earlier today and talked about the move.
It's a weird world, hockey, isn't it, to go back?
It's crazy how things always come back in full circle, right? But no, it's you can't write this stuff up when you're playing the game or thinking about the long-term stuff, but I'm excited to go back to Winnipeg with the guys.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, and it's a place you're familiar with, but is it tough to leave a place like Vegas where you guys look like you were on the cusp of a cup? It didn't end well this year, but all the pieces seem to be in place.
Yeah, that's tough. But, you know, what are you going to do? He can't control it. Just that's the business side of things. And, you know, if you sit back and always kind of like, you know, regret on things that could have happened, I think, you know, you're really going to drive yourself crazy. So you just got to move forward. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I'm sure, like, today it's a crazy year, right? I mean, from everything that's been going on to, you know, the draft happening to free agency all within a matter of 3 or 4 days. So it's a busy time. And I'm sure for you guys, it's going to be busy for the next couple of hours, next couple of days. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Those 19 games plus playoffs in Winnipeg, you played most of the time with Ehlers in line A, and barring a line A trade, it would seem that you would slot right back in there with the Jets next season, whenever we see next season. Are you excited about that possibility?
Yeah, if that's a possibility, I'm really excited. I think, you know, just playing with those two guys, or like I said, there's a lot of guys up front, but playing with those two guys just, it was like second nature. It was just really easy playing with those guys, especially two guys that want the puck, two guys that, you know, very skilled, dynamic, and, you know, can score from everywhere. So for me, it makes my job easy just trying to get the puck as quick as I can. But, yeah, and it's always fun playing with young guys, you know, brings a kind of spark energy to you and excitement. And it's nice trying to help these guys out. You know, the position where I was, whatever, 13, 14 years ago now, you know, I'm in that position where I got, you know, try to teach these guys as much as I can on and off the ice, just kind of pay it forward a little bit.
Like, it's that it's a business. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get Paul on today. I was told that he actually went camping with his family. So we're going to try to get him on. Hopefully get him a chance to say goodbye to Knights fans. But
Second place we are to that option.
Right. But
clearly.
He's ready to go back. I don't know if he's ready to close out his career there. But, you know, it's how does Paul Stastny, just in terms of what he meant for the team here? I mean, again, we're talking about two of the 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, being here, you know, how does he get remembered as a playmaker, as a guy who is just kind of a good facilitator, but not an overwhelmingly dominant one?
He was just a guy that you didn't really have to worry much about. And that thought process is usually reserved when we're talking about defensemen. There's kind of a saying that if you don't notice defensemen out there, that's a good thing, because you're usually talking about mistakes and stuff. But with Stastny, you know, he was so defensively responsible, especially around his own net, and then always knew where he needed to be position-wise offensively, and had the ability to facilitate, had the ability to score. But it's not because he's an overwhelming, like, physical talent. It's because he can think the game. It's because he has the vision, and you're like, oh, well, where'd he get it? From Dad. Because somebody that understands the business side and the lifestyle and everything, he grew up in that. He's a legacy, and he's been in this league for a long time, and that's why, you know, as prohibitive as his number is, even though it's only a 1 year left on his contract, it's $6.5 million. You know, if he doesn't have the pedigree of Paul Stastny, and then added to the familiarity with the Jets organization and the one playoff season that he did spend there before signing here at the Vegas Golden Knights a couple years ago. You know, you can kind of eat some of that because you're okay with it, because you know you're not going to have to worry about him on the ice. You know that he can kind of lead by example for the younger guys. And as I said, with the familiarity and you know, not everybody's a flashy hockey player. Not everybody can be a superstar. You know, we talk about Mark Stone as a superstar all the time, and the National people say the same. They're like, he's a superstar, because he is. But he's just not the one that we're used to seeing. And that's the same thing for Paul Stastny. He's a pure, honest, hardworking center that made sure that the teammates around him were doing what they did best, and his enabling of doing that.
Yeah,
really.
The steady hand for Stastny, obviously, you know, it was one of his calling cards. And I think the trade for Mark Stone last season, as compared to this season, that was the veteran that was brought in. They were able to make Stastny just a little bit more kind of expendable, more than anything else. And of course, the cap number two, you know, didn't really help him. That was a big.
They were going to move him. I didn't think that they had that ability, but honestly, based off of what we saw from him in the bubble and the play that he did have, especially when the Knights weren't playing super well, even when they were winning, when they weren't playing super well, I think his stock rose because he's not young, but it's an expiring deal, and there is such a thing as the COVID having some sort of positive benefit on different stuff going around.
And it worked out for your Golden Knights at this point. Right now, that's all we have for the Golden Knights in terms of movement. We are just in day one of the free agency pool. Kelly McCrimmon is scheduled to speak to the media later on today, so hopefully we get an idea of what the path is moving forward. Coming up next, the things that athletes just shouldn't do in the locker room.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Some news to pass along to you. Breaking news here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, brought to you by Indeed. Find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. Some news of a now former Vegas Golden Knight, Lindsay.
They always like to break the news when we're literally talking about them. It's the absolute worst. But Nick Cousins, via Frank Saravelli, report on this about 10 minutes ago at 4:35 p.m. He's going to be heading to the Nashville Predators on a 2-year deal with an average annual value at $1.5 million.
So goodbye, Nick Cousins.
Yep. Thanks for the rental.
Goodbye, John Merrill.
Yep. See you later. Have fun at home.
Yeah,
and
staying
there. Yeah. He went to Detroit. He's on a 1-year deal, just a hair short of a million, but Nick Cousins, very much a cap casualty in the squeeze. I think they wanted to re-sign him, but they just couldn't. It couldn't work. So it's a huge opportunity, I think, for Patrick Brown, in my opinion. And, you know, he plays a gritty game. Nick Cousins, that's what he was brought in to do, especially talk some trash. And Patrick Brown didn't really get any time during the playoffs, but I really liked what I saw from him in the training camp leading up to it. And he brings a lot of grit. And when he plays, he scores and he bumps bodies, man, and we need that on this team.
In the professional NFL ranks, after Washington lost to Baltimore on Sunday, Dwayne Haskins was overheard by teammates touting personal stats in the locker room. His first 300-yard game of his career that he lost by 14. And according to our family station, 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., the attitude after that loss basically drew the ire of teammates and was the last straw. Sent him to the bench.
That's where he belongs. If that is what happened, it's not anything malicious, obviously, but there's a maturity thing there. And it's a second-year quarterback, Paul. You know, this is the guy that missed his first touchdown celebration because he wanted to take selfies with fans. And he was doing all right. Like, we saw some leadership from him early on in the season, but just because you take a step doesn't mean it's like that every single day. So I understand the decision from Ron Rivera. He also said he's not giving up on the kid either. But I've been in that seat. I've been in that corner with that dunce cap on. It's no fun, but those are lessons that need to be learned. And especially to have his teammates rubbed that way. Like, that says a lot. You have to earn that trust back.
Yeah, it'll be tough with a defense and a team that's struggling to find any sort of momentum. And the fact that your head coach is going through cancer treatments during games.
And you're touting stats.
You're talking about...
And you're still losing.
300 yards. Mm-hmm. So,
and 300 yards is, you know, it's unsurpassable.
He may have learned the lesson, but I'm not sure the lesson's going to be continued there in Washington.
I need to repeat that one. I need to go to that class a couple times a week. But until he figures it out, that's what's going to have to happen. Otherwise, they're going to move on. It's up to him.
I've talked about this a few times, where, you know, it felt like he was kind of getting the short straw. I mean, granted, he's a second-year quarterback. Mm-hmm. Didn't start all of last year, really. I mean, he had spot starts and finally towards the end of the season. This year started out, but effort, attitude, and whatnot. And he was, you know, I mentioned that he needed a mentor. You know, I'm not sure if it was going to be Alex Smith, to be honest, but I could think of worse because Pat Mahomes tutored behind Alex Smith.
Alex Smith is beloved across the league from everybody that I've had a conversation with that knows.
So you look at Haskins. I hope he can turn things around. We've seen enough quarterbacks in this league, young quarterbacks who get thrown into the fire, who go in really without kind of that, like, not playbook, but kind of that playbook outside of the game playbook.
Yeah, learning how to be a professional.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to buy dinner for all your teammates or buy them Traeger grills or whatever it is, like,
right,
some quarterbacks do.
No, there's a learning curve there. And it's not just rookies because, you know, this is the most recent example, but 2-3 weeks ago when Kirk Cousins was up on a podium trying to explain a loss away, he was quoting his, well, we scored this many points, I had this many yards, same type of thing. Weirdly, different type of punishment. But it's a lesson that we all have to learn, is just that professionalism, how you conduct yourself, not just around people like us in the media, but around your teammates in your locker room, because there are added different expectations at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it comes
and
with
leadership role.
Yeah, there's a lot more heavy lifting that has to be done. All right, we need to get to our cheers at five really quickly here.
That is correct, and we like to hoist the tall, the small, the litten, and the bitten to something, someone, or somewhere that is good and bright, because the world is a tough place to be right now. We need some good vibes, and I'll start today because you start 2 days in a row, Paul. And I've gotten into the hiking lifestyle recently, at least in the last year since I moved here to Las Vegas, and I don't know if I'm going to be this crazy about it, but in terms of the charitable donation that was raised by Brittany Woodrum, who's a 27-year-old University of Denver grad, she raised $85,000 for COVID-19 relief by climbing all 58 of Colorado's 14,000-foot mountains. So that's what she did. She just started climbing up. Like I said, that's a lot of mountains, and that's a lot of feet.
That is incredible.
And a lot of shoes.
I know those 14ers very well.
Right. And so she obviously took account of all of her different journeys and wanted to find a way to make a difference in her own way. And so cheers to her and the high stepping and all $85,000 that are going to help COVID-19 relief, I'm assuming, in Colorado. But, you know, the fitness gains can be gains for other people, too.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yes.
We'll just leave it right there. I think that's a good place to go.
Okay.
So cheers at five, presented by our friends at Big Dogs Brewing Company, because Dogtoberfest is just around the corner, and you can be a part of Dogtoberfest. Just reserve at BigDogsBrewery.com.
Big Dogs!
All right, we do have college football coming up for this weekend. Tomorrow morning, right after Tony Cordasco and Saturday Sports Beat, we do have the Red River Rivalry. That'll be Texas taking on Oklahoma. That's at 9 o'clock. And then tomorrow night at 4:30, big game between number 7 Miami and number 1 Clemson. And then on Sunday, NFL doubleheader Jacksonville-Houston kicks things off at 10 o'clock, followed by the big Indianapolis-Cleveland showdown.
Yeah.
At 1. All right. For Mark Bonilla, making things sound nice on this free agent football Friday, I'm Paul Eihander. She is Lindsey Brown. And that's a wrap on the Playmakers for the week.
Sports!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.